Well, we know one thing. It's easy to go through life without even realizing that we have a confidence in the wrong place. And sometimes we put our confidence in our securities and things that would be considered matchsticks. We know them as crutches. What is a crutch? A crutch is simply something to lean on. Now, we know we have physical crutches when we break a limb, tough to walk, but there are also other kinds of crutches that we have in life. We're going to see today what happens when God removes the crutches. We're in a series about the life of David. And like I've been saying, our lives can parallel David's life, kind of like railroad tracks. A lot of the experiences that he had in life are very similar to some of the things that we go through as well. And I think what we're going to talk about today, we can say, yep, I feel just like David felt when he went through it. So today we'll see that sometimes God removes the crutches in our own life. Now, David was in the service of Saul's army. Okay? We know that. King Saul, in the beginning, you know, he took a real liking to David. He really did. David was mighty in battle. Remember, he took down that big giant. That old loudmouth himself took him down. And he was a skilled musician as well. And he had two talents. And he served Saul very well with those two talents. So much so, here's the thing, here's the kicker. That David was so good at what he did, Saul became jealous of young David. Imagine that. Imagine having someone that works for you, and they're so good that you become jealous of them. And with Saul, he became jealous to the point where it drove him, what? To kill David. Oh, he tried to kill David. That was the depth of his jealousy toward him. Imagine the pressure of going to work every day, knowing that the person that you work for wants to kill you. Now that's pressure. That's pressure. So the life of David teaches us that living in humility, living in integrity, being dependable doesn't always create a comfortable way of life. It doesn't. We see that in his life. There's a man named T.J. Bach, and he said, we'll never know by experience God's richest blessings of comfort and compassion toward others until we ourselves have had trials. You know, it's like, if you're not wounded, how can God heal you? There are things that we have to go through, and that's just the reality. And God says, I've got a plan for your life. And this plan includes you going through certain things because I have a plan for your life. Okay? So don't rule out God's plan. Even though David is going to do the best that he can in life, God is going to go to work. And he's going to begin to remove the crutches from his life one by one. So we pick it up today in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 9. Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in his house. Remember, God had already anointed young David to be the next king. He had removed the spirit from Saul. Saul was just a bad dude. So he's got this evil spirit plaguing him. He's sitting in his house and he's got his spear in his hand. So here's the king, right? Sitting in his big chair and he's got a spear in his hand. That's not a good mix. And David was playing the harp with his hand. Because you see, whenever Saul had this evil spirit come upon him, he would send for David, and David would play his harp. And it would ease Saul. So in verse 10, You know what Saul did, though, this time? I guess he didn't like the song David was playing. He threw the spear, and he tried to pin David to the wall. But David slipped away out of Saul's presence, so that he stuck the spear into the wall, and David fled and escaped. And notice the difference in the two men. Saul had an instrument of destruction in his hand. David had an instrument of healing in his hand. And I believe our instrument of choice says a lot about us as individuals. What's your instrument of choice when handling things that you don't like? So let's take a look at the removal of five significant crutches from David's life. Okay, number one, the removal of a good position. In verse 11, Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him. Oh, the spies. Why? In order to put him to death in the morning. But Michal, now this is David's wife, M-I-C-H-A-L. Some people call her Michal, Michal, Michael. I'm just going to say Michal. It's probably not the right pronunciation, but I like saying it like that. Okay? She told him, David, if you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow, you're going to die. So she said, you better run. So Michal, probably correctly pronounced Michal, I don't like that, she let David down through a window, and he went out, and he escaped. Now, David had been brought into the army. Remember, he was a soldier. He was a hero. He was faithful. And never again will he serve in Saul's army. That's it. He's AWOL. So he lost his job. He lost his job as a soldier. He lost his job as a musician in the king's court to play for the king. Crutch number two. His wife was removed. Verse 17. So Saul said to Michal, was his daughter, David's wife, why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped? You know what she said to him? She said, he said to me, let me go. Why should I not put you to death? She said he threatened her that if she didn't let him go, he would kill her. What is it with these people? Remember Potiphar's wife? She lied about Joseph. She said, he attacked me. And now here's another one. He said he would kill me if I didn't let him go. Her lie doesn't help David. It only deepens Saul's anger against him. See what she did? She turned up the heat against her own husband. Nice wife. Now, he'll never be with his wife again. That marriage is over. It's done. She had basically walked away from him. She wasn't faithful. She burned him, threw him under the bus. Now he can't come home. David has now lost two important factors of a man's life, his job and his wife. So David escaped, and he went to Samuel the prophet. Why? He needed wisdom. So he went to the man of God. I don't know what to do now. I got to go see the man that hears from God. See what he has to say. Boy, how different it is today, isn't it? Years ago, people listened to and respected what the man of God had to say. Nowadays, it's easily rejected. It is. People don't listen. They don't care. They got to do what they want. So he went to Samuel in verse 18. David fled. He escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah. And he told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went, and they stayed at Naoth. Remember, Samuel was the one that anointed David to be the next king. And how did he know? He heard from God. That's how. See, when you walk with God, you hear from God. So they went to Naoth. Naoth is a place of many dwellings, and the prophets lived there. So that was a good place to hide, right? Among the prophets. So, number one, crutch number one removed, his job. Crutch number two, his wife. Crutch number three, his counselor. Saul discovered David was at Naioth, so David fled again. Now he left Samuel. Samuel's at Naioth, and David runs for his life, and he leaves Samuel. So now we find him in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. David fled from Naioth and Ramah. He's losing everything that he had the habit of leaning on. You know, it's only human to build one's life on that which can hold you up in a physical, relational, and emotional sense, right? If you think about it, what held up David? Well, what held him up was physically, he had a job. Relationally, he had a mate. Emotionally, he had a counselor, someone that could impart wisdom to him. And he lost them all. Three crutches, three things he leaned on, and they were all taken away. And maybe, what do you think God is teaching David? Oh, I wonder if he's teaching him that there are wrong places to lean, wrong places to put your faith in. For instance, Proverbs 11 verse 28 says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall." So you don't put your trust in riches. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Okay. Jeremiah 17:5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength." So, not that there was anything bad about the three crutches that David lost, but I think what God is teaching David is your real place of faith and trust, David, is in me. Is in me. God wants to show David that everything he leans on can be removed. But God is there forever. God will never be removed. So now we have the removal of crutch number four, his friend. Remember his friend, Jonathan. 1 Samuel chapter 20, David fled from Naioth to Ramah, and he came and he said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he's seeking my life? Why does he want to kill me? I've been faithful. I've been a servant." And Jonathan said to him, "Oh, far from it. You will not die. My father, he does nothing either great or small without telling me. Why should my father hide this from me? David, it is not so. Say, no, my dad doesn't want to kill you. If he did, I would know. He would tell me." But David vowed again and he said, "Well, your father knows well that I have found favor in your sight. He knows we're friends." And he said, "I'm not going to let Jonathan find this out because he'll be grieved. Here's one thing. Saul is not going to tell his son, David's best friend." He said, "But truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is hardly a step between me and death." David feels as if he's living one step away from death. So in verse 42, 1 Samuel 20, David had to leave Jonathan because Saul, Jonathan's father and the king, was the one who wanted to kill him. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in safety." Look at what's happening in his life. Four crutches, four things that he leaned on, that he relied on, gone. His job, gone. His wife, gone. His prophet, counselor, gone. His best friend, gone. Phew. One more crutch to go. Crutch number five, the removal of his self-respect. Now we're in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10. David is not thinking clearly, I don't think. "He arose and he fled that day from Saul and he went to Achish, king of Gath." Gath, that's where Goliath had lived. Remember Goliath, the giant? The guy David hit in the head with a rock and then chopped off his head with his own sword? Goliath was from Gath, and that's where David went. David is walking into the headquarters of the Philistines, the very enemies of Israel. The servants to King Achish, they recognize David, and they warn the king against him. They said, "Listen, here comes trouble." Verse 13, David disguised his sanity before them. He acted insanely in their hands. He scribbled on the doors of the gate, and he let his saliva run down into his beard. He's drooling. He's acting like a madman, drooling all over himself. See, when your crutches are removed, you begin to think and act differently. When you go through life leaning on things and they're taken from you, you can act crazy and do dumb things. And why do we do that? Because we put our faith in the wrong place. Now we have a little biblical humor in verse 14. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman? Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act a madman in my presence?" He's like, "Don't I have enough crazy people around me? You got to bring me another one? Shall this guy come into my house too?" You probably felt like that, right? You probably felt like, "Man, do I need another nutcase in my life? I got so many already." That's what Achish said. So you can go through life and you can lean on a friend. You can lean on a job. You can lean on, drugs. You can lean on alcohol. But when they're removed, what do you have left? Nothing. Nothing. You can get to a place in life where you have nothing to lean on at all. And maybe God is trying to show his people, "I'm always here. I'm always here." So here's the warning for those who lean on crutches. Okay? Number one, crutches can become substitutes for God. Okay? I'm not saying we don't need these things in our life, but the danger is when they take God's place in our life. In Deuteronomy 33:27, it says, "The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Where do we live? In God. And those arms will always hold us up. What's our crutch? The arms of God. They'll hold us up. Second lesson. Removal reminds us that we're human and shows us that maybe, okay, being human, I have a human perspective, but now maybe I need to take on a divine perspective. Like it says in Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. So we change our perspective. We look up. Instead of looking around at what we have to lean on, we look up. And thirdly, crutches are only temporary helps, right? I mean, if you break a foot, you walk on crutches for a couple of months and then you get rid of them and you're okay. So a crutch is for a temporary solution, temporary relief, but it's not permanent. So think of the things that we lean on in life. Be careful that they don't take the place of leaning on God. Because the only permanent thing in life is God. There's nothing else. Some of you like to read A.W. Tozer. He said, "Things were always meant to be used by man, to be external to him. They were given to serve him. The heart of man was made to be filled by God." So things, right, can't take the place of God. For some of you that are listening today, a crutch is being removed from your life. Maybe it's a romance. Maybe it's a dream you've had. Sometimes it's even a marriage. It could be your health. Oh, so many things. And you have a choice. You can look around for another crutch. You can look around for something or someone to lean on. Or you can lean on God and God alone. And through all of this time, you see, David is being prepared to be the next king of Israel. These are life lessons which precede his promotion. You think God wants to promote some of his people? I do. I think he wants to promote some of you that are listening. But there's going to be some preparation. And sometimes the preparation is the removal of things in our life. We don't like it. I don't like it. You don't like it. None of us like it. But these are divine lessons. Because God thinks bigger than we do. Oh, he's so much bigger. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Oh, no. God sees a bigger picture than we see. We see life one frame at a time. God sees the whole movie. He knows how the whole thing is going to play out. He really does. So, you know, there are things that we lean on and God is going to remove them. Now, again, there's a difference between having them and leaning on them. It's good to have certain things in life, but don't make them your God. That's what we're saying. You got to have a job, but it's not your God. If you have a marriage, beautiful, but it's not your God. If you have a talent, beautiful, but it's not your God. You see, you get a best friend, that's great. It's not your God. That all of those things have a limited role in our lives. And none can compare with our relationship with God Almighty. So, as I wrap this up, it's okay to lean. No one can go it alone. But lean on God. He is there. He is there with you. He is there for you. He will not let you down. Rest in the everlasting arms of God. Number two, it's painful to be stripped of the things we lean on. Oh, yeah. We don't like crutches being kicked out from under us. So relieve yourself of dependence on them before God strips them away. Look at the things you lean on and just determine, are they competing with my relationship with God? We're not saying get rid of them, but put them in their proper perspective. Don't make an idol out of anything that you have. Okay? Be like the psalmist who said in Psalm 31, but as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. There's only one God, and that's the Lord God in heaven. So let me leave you with a closing prayer today. Father, please root my heart from all those things which I have cherished so long and which have become a very part of my life so that you may enter in and dwell there without a rival. Then my heart will have no need of the sun to shine in it for you. Yourself will be the light of it. And there will be no night there. In Jesus' name. Think about it. I love that prayer because what it does, it invites God in. We're saying, God, there's only one that I can lean on that will never let me go and never let me down. And that's you. And we have to keep coming back to that. Keep coming back because, you know, it's like you can slip away. It's like when you were a little kid and you went to the ocean, to the beach, and little by little, you could slip away. I remember going to the beach and my mother would say, now keep your eye on the umbrella. That's where we are. And you play out there in the waterfront hour and you look up and where's the umbrella? It's gone. What happened? The current, little by little, you drifted away and you had to work your way back to find the umbrella or the red Coca-Cola cooler. Whatever you had. And we can do that in our spiritual walk. So we have to remind ourselves, wait a minute, I need to recalibrate. I need to recalibrate what I'm leaning on and make sure that God has his proper place in my life. I can't lean on my gifts, my talents, my job, my hobbies, or certain people in my life, they all have a place, and I enjoy every one of them and thank God for them. But they cannot take the place of God. They can't be in His place. God can have no rival in my heart. That's the key. There can be no rivalry. There's no place for that. There's no place. Let God be God. Let Him be your, He's your Savior. Let Him hold you up. If He's done the greatest thing, oh, by all means, He can do the simple thing. He can bring you through life. He can stabilize you in your thinking, in your trials and tribulations. He can do all that for you. Look to Him and let Him do His work. Well, David's life, he's still being schooled. Next time we're together, oh no. What happens? As if it's not bad enough now, right? When the bottom drops out. Ever been there? What happens when the bottom drops out? What bottom dropped out of David? Well, we're going to see that next time. Again, life lessons. That's what these are. Lessons to get through life. God uses life to teach us, to train us, to prep us for what's coming. All we need to do is learn the lesson and we'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just learn the lesson. We'll be right back.